As I was thinking about this series, and actually I was thinking about another series that I wanted to do, and as I began to get into it, it just didn't fit for some reason. There's sometimes you think about doing something and think, nah, that just don't fit. Well, that just didn't quite fit. So I began to think about misunderstood, misquoted scriptures, and that fit. So there's a lot of things that are misquoted in the Bible. There are some things that are said, that people say are in the Bible, that are not in the Bible, like cleanliness is next to godliness. That may be true, but that's not in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. Here's one that shocked me a little bit. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That one should be in the Bible. I think the concept is there, but the quote doesn't come from the Bible. Last week we talked about a scripture in 1 Corinthians that's been misquoted as, God won't put more on you than you can bear. You've heard that quoted. I hope you have not quoted that. If you have quoted that, I hope you'll quit quoting that, because it's just a misquotation of the scripture that says that God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. Total different meaning. One of them says God puts it on you. The other one says God has a way to get out of it. And that's total different perspective. See, I think it's important what we believe about God. You know, if you think wrong about God and believe wrong about God, you'll speak wrong. If you'll speak wrong, you'll do wrong. I don't mean sin, you'll do the wrong thing. You'll go in the wrong direction, and you'll wind up in a place you don't want to be. And if you think God's your problem, that just changes your whole worldview. We don't need to see God as our problem, we need to see God as our solution. And that's what He's all about. We got ourselves in the mess, okay? God gets us out. So we talked about that last week. We looked in James where it says that, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does He tempt any man. But we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust. So, a lot of times, most of the time, we're the problem. We don't like to admit that. We want to blame somebody else, or we want to say, well, it's God. And a lot of times, it's us. Sometimes, it's not. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Job. The book of Job. That's a hard book. It really is a hard book. It's a hard one to read because it's about doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression and excessive misery. We could sing that song, but we shan't. We don't sing those songs here. And so that's what that book's a whole lot about. But it's about some other things, too. And there are some quotations out of Job that we quote, that we quote totally out of context, and they are if you quote it out of context, you'll believe wrong, you'll speak wrong, you'll act wrong, you'll do wrong, and you will not overcome. God wants us to overcome in life. So, we're going to look at some of that today. The book of Job was about a man who did not do wrong. Okay? The things that come upon him had nothing to do with what he did, which is unusual. Contrast that to King David. Most every bad thing that came on him came because of what he did. It started with his seeing a woman bathing and sending for her and having committing adultery with her, getting her pregnant, trying to cover it up, had her husband killed, and he married her and thought he was off the hook. It started a chain of events in his life that cost him dearly. It cost him the lives of several of his kids. But God was there to restore him and to be faithful to him. And God brought him out, and God said about him, he's a man after my own heart. So the moral of the story is, if things that happen to us in life because of things that we have done, or things that happen to us in life that have nothing to do with what we've done, God is still our solution. He is never our problem. And we need to know that. God is never our problem. We are our problem. We have an enemy that's arrayed against us that's our problem. Sometimes people are our problem. Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking about you? Now don't look at your wife and say that, okay? You get in big trouble if you say that to your wife. But today we're going to talk about, Job. Now, as I begin to study Job, I like to look at context. I like to look at background. I like to look at timelines where things occurred in biblical history, especially in Old Testament. And one of the amazing things about Job is that there's very little known about Job, when it happened, where Uz is, or where Uz was. I mean, there's just very little about it in the Scripture. And so it's kind of hard. Most Bible scholars think that the Job story took place sometime after Noah's flood and during the early part of the patriarch period. That would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It happened years and years and years before Moses, hundreds of years before Moses. Long time. So here's one of the things that we need to know about Job is he did not have a Bible. He didn't have a Bible. And I find that amazing. Here's this man that knows God that doesn't have a Bible. See, I'm amazed today that we got Bibles all over the place and people that don't know God. Come on now. And I'm surprised that we got Bibles in our homes and we know very little about God. But here Job was, did not have a Bible. He didn't have Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Hadn't been written yet. Didn't have the Torah or the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books. He didn't have those. In fact, Bible scholars believe that Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. So we are preceding the time of Scripture, covenants, the Jewish nation. We're preceding all of that. In fact, many Bible scholars do not think that Job was even a descendant of Abraham. So he was not a covenant person at all. And I find it amazing that here's a man in the midst of this that knows God, fears God, and turns from evil. In fact, Job, let's look at this. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz, not Oz. We know where Oz is. You go to Kansas to get there. Whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Amazing. Here's a guy that walked the way a Christian should walk, but yet did not have a Bible. I think if we would look deep in our hearts, even before Bible, that we basically know right from wrong. It's inborn in us. It's put there by God, a sense. We may not be able to quote something, but in our hearts, that when we do something wrong, there's something that bothers us on the inside. See, we know inherently that it's wrong to sell babies into sex trade. We don't even have to have a Bible to tell us that. We just know it's wrong. There are just certain things that we are, and it has to do with our original design by God. Even though we're fallen, we have a sense of this is not right. this is wrong. So this is kind of where Job was at. No scripture. We don't know how he found out about God. If he heard Abraham, or if God revealed himself to him in some ways. But there was a whole lot that he did not know about God. And this book of God, this book of Job is not a book about theology. It's a book about a man who was faithful to God, and that faithfulness is tested. It has nothing to do with anything that he did that was wrong. Now, David was about everything that he did that was wrong, and God redeemed him. This is a book about a man who had not done anything wrong, and God delivered him. God was not his problem. God was not David's problem. God was David's deliverer. God was not Job's problem. God was the one who turned his captivity. So Job is living in the land of Uz. We don't even know where Uz was. I mean, we just don't know. But he lived in the land of Uz, and he was very rich. He had cattle, he had camels, he had kids. In fact, he was one of the richest men in that time. He was blessed. So it gives us a little insight into Job, and then all of a sudden the scene changes to heaven. And in heaven, God is communicating with his spiritual beings, angels, and Satan shows up. And God talks to Satan. And one of the things he says to Satan, he says, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth?" Satan says, "Huh, you built a hedge around him. No wonder he serves you. Everything's going good in his life." Are you listening to me today? Everything is going good in his life. That's why he serves you. If you would put your hand against him, he would curse you. And God says, "I'm not going to do that." But he gave Satan permission to test Job. Did God test him? No. God knew him. God knew his heart. Did Job do anything wrong? No. This was an attack of the enemy. If you don't remember any other scripture that we're going to quote today, remember this one, John 10:10. This is a Jesus scripture, okay? Jesus said, "The thief comes not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly." If it kills, steals, and destroys, where does it come from? The thief. Who's the thief? Satan. If it's good, every good and perfect gift comes down from God. It's from God. Okay? So, what happens? Satan goes out from the presence of God. In fact, God says, you can't... He limited him in what he could do. He says, you can't touch his life. So he goes out, and he begins to attack his stuff. In fact, Job's in his home, and this messenger comes in and says, the Sabaeans have come, and they've killed all your servants, and they've stolen your cattle. And while he was reeling from that, another servant come in and says, the Chaldeans came, and they killed all your servants, and they stole all your camels. And while he was reeling from that, another person comes in and says, your children were having a party. All your kids were in the same house, and a whirlwind came, and they were all killed. I mean, he had a bad day. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? He had a bad day. Sometimes we think that we have a bad day. Job had a bad day. He lost all of his physical stuff. He lost everything that he loved within a day. Horrible situation. Did God do it? No. He said, well, he allowed it. God allows everything that happens in the earth to happen. If you're all-powerful, all-knowing, all-knowledge, all-everywhere present, for anything to happen in the world, God has to allow it. And there are reasons that He allows it. Okay? That's another series. Sometimes it's choices that we make that He has to stand back and allow certain things to happen. King David. Okay? God didn't tempt David with Bathsheba. He was drawn away by his own lust, his own choices. And God stood back and allowed that to transpire, and it cost David greatly. Job didn't do anything. Sometimes, okay, and I don't have an explanation for all of it because I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart. Job didn't know about it. He's minding his own business, and all of this stuff begins to happen. He is not privy to the conversation that took place in heaven. He didn't know who did it. He didn't know where it came from. He didn't know any of those kind of things. He doesn't have a full understanding of God. His theology. We're going to see some things about his theology that are not right. Okay? He makes some statements. We're going to look at three statements that Job makes that Christians quote when they find themselves in adversity. And we don't need to quote Job in those things, because Job did not know what was going on. Okay? He didn't know what happened in heaven. He thought God did it. And a lot of times, Christians think God does bad things to them. Jesus cleared that up in John 10:10. That's our verse. In fact, Job said something that's quite amazing. I want to read it to you. I'm going to go to Job 9. This is before, a long time before Jesus ever came. But Job recognized something. And he talked about approaching God. And he said this in Job 9:30. If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, he says, if I clean myself up, yet you will plunge me into the pit, and my own clothes will abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. He says, I have no way to approach God. I have no standing to approach God. Because, and remember what God said about him? He's blameless. He's a good man. He's turned away from evil. But Job said, even in the middle of that, if I get myself as clean as I can be, you'll throw me into the ditch. See, the Bible says that our righteousness, our goodness is as filthy rags. When Adam sinned, there was a problem that happened in the heart of man. And when sinful man comes into the presence of holy God, judgment has to take place. It just has to take place. That's who God is. And Job recognized that. He says, if I do all of these things, yet he will plunge me into the pit. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hands on both of us. That's a great picture there. King James says there's not a daysman betwixt us. The ideal is an umpire or a mediator. Somebody who has standing with both sides. Job was a man. He had standing with man, but he did not have standing with God. He couldn't approach God because he did not have a means to approach God. Remember, this is before the sacrificial system. This is before Jesus died on the cross. He said, there's not a daysman betwixt us. So he says, I'm kind of in a catch-22. But listen, He was going to get help, but it was totally by the grace of God that he gets his help. Not because of any standing that he might have based on who he was or what he was. We're in the same boat. There had to be somebody that could stand between the two. You know, the only solution for that was that God was going to have to become a man in order to have that standing. See, the Bible tells us that there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, not the God. Is Jesus God? Yes, he is. He's God in the flesh. But he became a mediator as he became a man. He already had identity with God because he was God. When he became man, he has an identity with man. So he can lay his hand on man without judging him. He can lay his hand on God without being judged. Job says, I don't have that. Can I tell you something good today? You have that. You have that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you mess up, run to God as fast as you can run to Him. Because there's somebody that's got his hand on God that can put his hand on you and you don't have to be judged. Just run to God. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. Job was in a dilemma. He didn't know what to do. Didn't have great theology. That was before theology, I guess. But he says something when this happens. And we're going to go to Job chapter 1 and verse 21. When all of this happened, and his children are dead, and he's standing there, he just tears his clothes, and he goes into a lament and grieves. I mean, if you've lost a loved one, you can imagine. If you lost all your kids at one time, that'd be horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And he says this. Naked I came from my mother's womb. He says, I was born naked. That's something we all have in common. I've never seen a baby yet that was born with clothes on. And naked I shall return. The Lord gave, is that true? And the Lord has taken away. Is that true? No. See, he was not privy to what took place in heaven. God is not the one who took it away from him. He was attacked because of his faithfulness to God. David was attacked because of his sinfulness. He was attacked because of his faithfulness. Can I tell you something? When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you make an enemy. His name is Satan. He hates you. He will do anything he can to cause you to fall away from God. He'll manipulate circumstances to keep you from being faithful to God. Because when you're faithful to God, listen, you'll have a way out of every circumstance and situation of life. He tries to separate you from the love of Christ. He can't do it. So he says, the Lord is given and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that a good thing to say? No. But let's look at Job's heart. What was this test about? He said, Satan said, if you'll lay your hand on him, if you'll pull the blessing off him, he'll curse you. God says, I'm not going to do that. He said, he's in your hand. And he said, you can't do this. You're limited in what you can do. And when he attacks him, what does Job say? Here's what this book is about. Will he be faithful or will he not be faithful? The Lord is given, the Lord is taken away. Not a true statement, half truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He remained in the integrity of his heart, loyal to God. See, here's something that I see that's a problem among Christians. We have the tendency that when things are going good, we're praising God. Oh, God has blessed me. I'm so blessed. Blessed by the best. I hear that all. I'm blessed by the best. Well, yeah, you are. You're blessed by the best. I want to be blessed by God. And then when things go wrong, it's gloom, despair, agony. Oh, where's God? Is there a God? I don't know if there's a God. I had rather hear what Job said than I had that. Job's theology may not have been the greatest, but the integrity of his heart was intact. He did not turn his back on God. He would not curse God. He remained true to God. Now, there's a couple things that we can learn from this. Number one, that we should follow God when things are good and then when things are not good. Because we're all going to face adversities in life. Not everything is going to flow your way all the time. And you need to check your heart when things start going bad. Quit looking to God as your problem. And start looking for the way out. Remember, it says that when we're tempted, He won't allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. If you turn to God, you're looking for His way out. If you're accusing God, then guess what? It's a whole different dynamic. We don't need to accuse God for our problems. And it's not always necessary whether it's our fault or not our fault. God is still our solution. He was David's solution. He was Job's solution. And this shows us not only the faithfulness of Job, but greater than that, it shows us the faithfulness of God. I said the faithfulness of God. He is committed to us. He is committed to us. The next thing he says is in Job 2:10. I'm going to skip a verse and come back to one. So when all of this happens, he's lost his stuff, he's lost his kids, and now he's got to deal with a wife. It could have been a husband. I'm not picking on women. It could have been a husband. Well, not he didn't have to deal with a husband. He just had a wife. Okay, we'll be clear about that. So what did she say to him? She was hurting too. She says, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, who inspired her to say that? What was the temptation? If he loses what he has, he'll curse you. He'll curse God. And the wife says to him, reckon Satan just whispered something in her ear, in her hurt and in her frustration. She turns to him and say, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die? This is not worth it. Just curse God and die." Wow. Sometimes the enemy uses the people around us to get to us. He tried to use Peter one time. Remember that? Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Woo! Now, I don't recommend that you say to your spouse, if you want to sleep in your bed and not on your couch, I just don't recommend you call your spouse Satan, okay? I just don't recommend that at all. Or your best friend. But sometimes we just need to be conscious that sometimes God, the devil uses people, just like God uses people, so does Satan to get to us. He was testing Job's faithfulness. And he even used his wife. "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said to her in verse 10, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." Now he did call her foolish. "Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" Now, did God give the good things to him? Yes. Did God cause the adversity? No. So So his theology is not great theology, but his heart is intact. It says in all of this, he didn't sin with his lips. You know why? Because he spoke out of the integrity of his heart. If he would have blamed God, if he would have been bitter at God, that would have been a different deal. But he says, you know what? I get good from God. I get adversity. He remained faithful. That's what the test was about, okay? It's not about whether his theology was right or not, okay? It was about, will he be faithful? Will he be faithful? And this just goes to show us that we don't have to have perfect theology in order for God to bless us. Now, should we study? How many of you believe we should study? If you don't believe we should study, you're going to be easy prey and easy pickings for the enemy. One of the reasons that we do messages like this is not an easy message to do, okay? Because it challenges a lot of Christian thinking. It really does. It sometimes this kind of message makes people mad. Sometimes people get offended at this kind of message. But I want to build in you a worldview. The way that you view God, the way that you view the world that you live in, and the way that you view the way that God deals with you. You need to see that. And it's important that we know that. And that our theology comes mostly from the New Testament. See, one of the problems that we have in interpreting Scripture is that we'll take an Old Testament Scripture and we want it interpreted in the light of the New Testament. Because the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that we're to bring sacrifices. Did you know in the New Testament we don't bring sacrifices? Why don't we bring sacrifices? If we're going to obey the Word of God, why don't we bring sacrifices? Because the sacrifice has been made, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice for our sin, once and for all. Now, if you didn't have a New Testament, you wouldn't know that. But you got a New Testament. You should know that. So when we see that, that Old Testament that says bring the sacrifice, I, as a New Testament believer, says that sacrifice has been made, and I rejoice in that sacrifice. Okay? Not that I have to go sacrifice a lamb. The lamb has been slain from the foundation of the world. So sometimes we need to bring and quote Old Testament verses, we need to interpret them in the light of the new covenant. Job says one more thing. This is in Job 13:15. And he says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Though he slay me, was God slaying Job? No. Who was trying to kill Job? Satan. In fact, Satan goes back to God after he doesn't, he remains faithful. He said, well, if you'll touch his flesh, he'll curse you. He says, I won't do that. You do it. And he went and struck him, and he had boils and all those kind of things, and he goes through all this kind. He even cursed the day that he was born, but he didn't curse God. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at the heart of Job, not his theology, but at his heart. Did he deny God? Nope. Was he true to God? Yes, he was true to God. Did he remain faithful to God? Yes, he remained faithful to God. So what is our take out of all of this verse? See, because if we view it wrong, we're liable to become bitter towards God. If we think God is our problem, if we think God is the one that's afflicting us, then we can become bitter at God, or we won't engage in spiritual warfare. The Bible talks about weapons of our warfare. that God has given us. And if we think it's God doing us, we won't take those spiritual weapons and fight against God because we think it's God doing it. It's not God doing it. It's the enemy. And we're to take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and we're to combat the enemy in our life. And when we do that, God will provide the way of escape so that we can bear up under it and overcome. Amen. Glory to God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Pure heart. Remain true. What's the other takeaway from this? Don't just serve God when things are good. Trust God in the good times. Praise God for him, his blessings. But don't base everything on the fact that you're blessed. Stock market doing good, hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Stock market goes down, oh, God, what are you trying to do to me? No. Is the stock market our source? I hope not. I hope not. God's our source. That's what we got to be faithful to. I mean, if your mood rises and falls on the stock market, I mean, it's doot, 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 doot. Mercy. And if it's on your circumstances, they will fluctuate. The test is, will you be true to God? Will you turn to God or will you turn from God? And Job turned to God every time. He never denied God. He was always true to God. Amen. I was going to say, praise team, come, but they're here. Prayer team, come. Now, this is not an easy message for me at all. Next week, we're going to talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? What is that all about? But you know, something I want you to know today. If you got difficulty in your life, whether it's something that you did or if it's just an outright attack of the enemy, the solution is stay true to God. He's the one who will redeem you. He's the one who will forgive you. He's the one who will restore you. He's the one that will see you through. You just got to stay plugged in to God. Job is our example. The Bible talks about in the New Testament the patience of Job. It was his patience that saw him through. See, patience is a spiritual virtue, and it caused him to overcome. You know what? In this whole deal, I mean, he had these comforters that came, and they accused him of being wicked. You done this, and you done that, and this is why this is happening. You know, sometimes when bad things are happening to people, we don't just need to be in their faces saying, well, you deserve that. No, we need to comfort them. We need to strengthen them. We need to lift them up. We need to try to help them if we can. Because sometimes we just don't know why certain things happen. We don't see what happens in the heavenly realm. And I'm not saying that God and Satan are up there bargaining over your soul. Bible says that Satan's the god of this world. And sometimes he just arrays things against you to aggravate you, to cause you to be unfaithful to God. And so we don't know what's going on in a person's life. Sometimes you may think you know, and you may be right. But we don't need to be like Job's comforters. But you know what? When his deliverance came, is when he prayed for his friends. And the Bible says God turned his captivity. You know what the end result of Job was? He had twice as much as he had before. I hope his wife got right. Anyway. The book of Job, probably his trial probably lasted less than a year. And he lived out his days, and he had more children. He had more riches than he ever had before, and he was more blessed by God than he'd ever been blessed before. It's because he was faithful to God. He was faithful to God. And I know some of your lives and what some of you have been through. And the message to you today is, it don't matter where you've been or what you've done, stay faithful to God. Turn to God with all your heart. Turn to Him. He's your solution. He's your hope. He's your rock. He's your strength. If you're here today and you're going through stuff and you need prayer, that's why we got them standing right up here. They'll pray with you. They won't judge you. Don't counsel anybody. Just pray. Love and pray with people. Maybe you're away from God and you need to find God, or you need to come to God for the first time. You can come here without being judged and find God. Every person standing here today, including me, we had to come that way and find God. I've been in church all my life, and it would have been embarrassing for me to go to the altar because I should have known God. But 19 years of age, I came and I found God. We all have to come the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can find Him right here. If you're ashamed to come up here, we've got Miss Kay in the back. If you're more comfortable with that, go back there and she'll pray with you. But as we sing, stand with us, and if you need anything from God, come today. Don't let anything hold you back.